asked if I wanted it down a bit because I'm small. Oh, and by the way, I would be a lion. Can you guess why? Okay. God reminded me on the plane as I was coming here that years ago I had said to him in a very throwaway prayer, I'd love to go to Norway. And he reminded me that he was answering that prayer by coming here. So thank you for welcoming us. We're going to speak about spiritual formation. I'm going to talk about the direction of our spiritual formation under the title, For the Sake of Others, and I'll explain as we go on. So I explained to you that all those things, I was a teacher and an auntie. This explains me a little bit more. So you can see a Chinese gate there. I spent 5 years in China. I didn't meet any pandas while I was there. But actually, spending time in China, this isn't a Chinese gate from China. This is a Chinese gate from Liverpool, my hometown. You may be able to hear the accent. If my friends heard me, they'd say, why are you speaking like that? Because I'm toning it down a lot. If you ever meet someone from Liverpool, you ask the essential question, Liverpool FC or Everton FC? As you can see up there, I support Everton Football Club. I know, it's sad. But you'll see some more Latin there, Missio Dei, you'll see some up there. What it means is nothing but the best. Yes. I know, it's so funny, isn't it? Because it doesn't live up to that at all. The flags you see are Tanzania and Malawi. I've spent time in East Africa as well, just more shorter term than I was in China. My heart is still in China. And the reason why, you'll see the little girl with me there. Her name is Anne Lulu. And I looked after her for the first 3 years of her life. She is now 18. She lives in Kansas in the US, and she's just about to go to university. God promised me he would give her to me, and 18 years later, he's keeping that promise. I have lots of nephews and nieces. We couldn't put them all on that slide, but that's me. Liverpool, Everton, China, East Africa. Let's talk about spiritual formation. Okay. Spiritual formation. This is a guy called David Teague. He says it is the development of the image of Christ within us as we grow to know God, to love and to serve other believers and to do God's mission in the world. I think that's a pretty fair description of mission. I wouldn't just single it out to other believers. I think that God wants us to touch everyone. And as we grow to know him, we have that power through his Holy Spirit, through our knowledge of him, to love and serve one another. Again, I'll go into that in a moment. But I could stand here and I could just say about spiritual formation, now go away and do it. But how can we do it? I think I'd need the rest of the conference to talk to you about that, as would Richard. So we would have to double the conference. But I've narrowed it down to three things. Solitude, I'll explain all these shortly. Community. And mission. So how do we form into the likeness of Christ through these things? I'd like to read you a section of scripture from Luke 6, 12 to 19. One of those days, Jesus went out on a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, who he also designated apostles. And then it goes on to name the apostles. Then he went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Jesus, in that passage, we can see, gave us a model. He had solitude. He was at night. That might be your habit, to have your solitude, your time with Jesus at night. Some people, it's the morning. You need to be intentional about finding that time with Jesus. Jesus modeled the community. He chose his disciples. As we will see in a moment, we don't always get to choose the people around us, but we do have a command to love them. Jesus chose his disciples knowing full well one would betray him, one would deny him, they would let him down at his hour of need. But he chose them and he loved them and he taught them. We can take that as a model for ourselves as well. And the mission in the afternoon, from that place of choosing, then the people came to him and he formed the bigger community with them and he healed them of their diseases. So this is what I mean when I talk about for the sake of others. That solitude time is for the sake of others. That community time is for the sake of others. And the mission is for the sake of others. And that's the model that Jesus showed us. God grounds us in prayer and prepares us to live with and love others. I'm a strong extrovert, but I need the power of God to live with others. I don't know about you. And I get that strength, power by knowing him. Marit said last night, didn't she? She said, we all need that time with Jesus. We all need to see him for ourselves. And that's when we will be transformed. Community. My solitude meets your solitude. And that's what makes community. And it's a good community when our solitude involves being with Jesus. But community, there's always a problem. I'm sorry, I'm not being negative there at all. There's always problems with community because we are people, we are human, we try and get along, things happen. But in the seminar earlier, there was a picture of Jesus on the cross, and I was so struck by this. Jesus like this, exposing his heart. And you know, when my solitude meets your solitude, when we both spend time with Jesus, we have the strength and the power only through him to expose our heart and to be together. And that's where the problems get resolved. This is from an anonymous person, but I really like it. It says, community is the place where the person you least want to live with always lives. Do you recognize this? And don't you go to the next community and say, oh, not you again. Our solitude gives us the power to love that person, to love all the people who Jesus would bring into our path. But the community builds us as well. Jesus never told the disciples, go and do something. He often would teach them just as they were going through, down the road. As they were experiencing things, he was teaching them. And that's what community does for us as well. We're in it and we are learning from it. Always look around for those opportunities. This is part of your spiritual formation. Mission is then the extra. It's the overflow of the love that we get from our solitude, from the experience we get from living in community with people. It's not done alone, the mission. We can't do it alone. It's not something we have an offer, but it's a communal and mutual experience. You know, you may think that in your community, that you know, everybody else is very annoying. But I was struck again this morning in a seminar by 1 Timothy 1:15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. While you are working hard in the solitude and the community to love others, I'm afraid they're working very hard to love you as well. But together it works because Jesus is at the heart of it. Take this with you. Be intentional about this. We don't give our service to people. We don't go in and rescue. We serve with and among others. I'd like to share a story of when I was in China, and it involves Anne Lulu, who you saw. Every night when I put her to bed, I would sing, Yesu, I ni wo je dao. Jesus loves me, this I know. And I would sing that song. She was adopted to an American couple, and she would sing it at night because it's quite traumatic when children are adopted to another family. Her family said, this kid, she keeps singing about Jesus. We need to take her to a church. They took her to a church. They went along to a church. None of them were Christians. And all of the family became Christians through this little girl. I was not the big missionary going in and converting these people. This 3-year-old did that because we'd formed a relationship. We were there. Take this to heart. Every relationship has the potential of becoming the place of a transforming encounter with God. Expose your heart. Let everybody have a chance with you because you don't know when that encounter will turn out to be an encounter with Jesus for them. We go in the solitude. We've get strengthened by Jesus. We live in community and we learn how to do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Then we have our God encounters. I'm not sure where I'm doing with time, Rich. Okay. I'd like to tell you a story about the Rescue Society then. This really highlights the whole for the sake of others. The Rescue Society was formed in New England in the USA. They were formed to steer ships away from rocks. They built a lighthouse, and the long hours of training and rescue techniques followed. Members were sent in rescue boats whenever a storm came, and it would push the ship past the lighthouse and into safety away from the rocks. But across the years, as the ship steered more successfully and more ships were saved, their meetings didn't need to be about saving people. Their meetings became social gatherings, self-help classes. Instead of being a lighthouse to rescue those who were lost, their goal became fellowship with one another and fulfilling the people who were in the society. One night, a fierce storm drove a ship onto the rocks. They discovered that they no longer had the capacity to effectively rescue. Their boats were in disrepair, their members were untrained, and they were out of shape. They stood and watched helplessly as the ship was totally wrecked. We need to be careful that we don't focus on the solitude, on the community, but that it has a purpose for the sake of others. Keep our lifeboats and our rescue boats in good repair. Keep our lighthouse working so we can go and serve others. This is what I mean when I want you to take away to be intentional. This community is difficult, you may think, but what is God teaching me? Lord, I feel alone when I'm in solitude, but what are you showing me? I was praying earlier and I really feel God wants to tell you that you are not alone. You think you're alone, but you're not alone. In the solitude, you're not alone. In the community, when sometimes it can feel so alone, you are not alone. And if you know that someone, you sense that someone feels alone, invite them to your table. Because what happens is, my overflow of being with Jesus, together with your overflow of being with Jesus, that's the mission. That's when we get together, because the overflow, we can't help but look outside. We can't help but see what God wants us to do. And when we meet in that place, God can do amazing things through us. Just let him is what I would say to you. A couple of books there that I've used here for you. And I'll hand over to Rich. There you go, Rich.
Chris Heron. Praise the Lord. Okay, thank you so much, Jen. I'll just leave the books up there for a second. They're not in Norwegian, is that right, Jen? No, but you guys are so good at English. I haven't met anybody that I haven't been able to speak to because my Norwegian is terrible. So, fantastic. So, these books, really good on all the things that Jan has been sharing. Okay, trying to build on that, here is my family. Yes, that person on the right, that is me. I know that's hard to believe. I'm a little older now, but if my wife was here, she looks about the same age. It's quite incredible. I don't know how she does it, but there we go. So my wife is from Malaysia. I'm from England. There's our three children together with us. So we are a Eurasian household. We bring together Europe and Asia. We're cross-cultural. When I wake up in the morning, I'm already in cross-cultural mission because my wife is next to me. Okay, 24 hours, 7 days a week, we're in cross-cultural mission, but it's all good. A little bit of our story. We started off in London. My wife came from Malaysia over to London. So that's the church we used to work in. We used to live inside the church as well. That was amazing. Then we moved over to Kuala Lumpur and we worked in this church here. And from Kuala Lumpur, the Lord took us to Bangladesh, Myanmar, Nepal, and Nigeria. So that was really exciting. But God, in his wisdom, said, I want you to come back to London. So, okay, we came back to London and we began to work in this place. This place is called... It's not Hogwarts, no. Okay. It is All Nations Christian College, so Jan and I work there. And from there, just when I thought the Lord wasn't going to take us anywhere anymore, we went to Argentina, Burundi, Chile, Costa Rica, Democratic Republic of Congo, Denmark, Ghana, Guatemala, Kenya, Nepal, Republic of Congo, Romania, Tanzania, Uganda, and... Hey, praise the Lord. You noticed I missed it out. So there we go. And of course, Norway as well, which has always been an incredible blessing to us. And then the Lord has just taken us about a month ago. So again, God has always got you on the move. He took us over to California to study mission at Fuller Seminary. So we've been a family that's always been on the move. Okay, and I think that's a large part of what mission is all about. Okay, don't get excited. I can see people salivating. It's like you put quick lunch up and out. My goodness. I like these, by the way, but they're not as good as... No, I'm not going to say it. Actually, I really like. They're as good as. Okay. Yes, Kit Kat. I said it. Why have I got Kit Kat up there? Oh, sorry. Quick lunch. Why have I got corn water? Making enemies already. Why have I got quick lunch up there? Because I think for some of us, quick lunch is a habit. We have a quick lunch fairly regularly, and that's good. Whenever I leave Norway, I always take some quick lunch with me so that we can eat them when we get back to the UK. And I think these habits are good. Your quick lunch habit, very good. But my first point here is, actually, we need to allow God to set our schedules. Amen. We need to give over our schedules to the Lord. I see many of us have got diaries, many of us have got calendars. Actually, we need to give that calendar to the Lord I love this verse from Isaiah 50. What does it say? It says, God wakes me up each morning. Morning by morning, he wakes me up so that I can learn from him. Praise the Lord. I love that. The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, and I did not turn away. And I sense that when God wakes us up, he always wants to speak to us. But sometimes we're in such a hurry that actually we miss out on that opportunity. And so I think sometimes God is building those habits. When we moved to Malaysia, it was kind of difficult for me because we were in a new house and a new culture and a new church and everything else. But actually what the Lord did was for the first time in my life, he woke me up at 5 o'clock every morning. Hallelujah. And he said, I want you to pray for an hour. In this new situation where I didn't know very much and it was a new culture and a new language and all of that, he said, the first thing I need you to do is prepare yourself in the morning. And so day by day, it didn't matter if I went to bed at 12 o'clock, at 10 o'clock, whatever, God would wake me up at 5 o'clock. Oh, my Lord. But he got me into that habit. He wakened my ear morning by morning. I commend that to you. It's all about food tonight, ladies and gentlemen. So the other thing that we need to do, very, very important, is receive instructions by faith. And I love the verse. We had it read out to us right at the beginning of tonight. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you, just as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Okay, just as the Father sent Jesus, Jesus is sending us. Now, why have I got brown cheese and minstrels on there? I have a friend, he's in the auditorium tonight. I don't know where he is. He usually sits at the back somewhere. And we have a deal. I met him here at Fjellhaug last year. And every now and again, he sends to me through the post, at great expense, some brown cheese. Because you cannot, I'm sorry to say this, if you come to UK, you cannot get brown cheese. You will miss it. And so he sends to me brown cheese. But there is a relationship here where I have to say, if he sends me brown cheese, I have to send him minstrels. It is a sending relationship. And it's wonderful. I get brown cheese, he's got minstrels. We're all happy. But if you look at that, you've also got a sending relationship. As the Father sends Jesus, Jesus sends you. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you also. Yeah. Hallelujah. And if you look back through the book of John tells us how Jesus was sent. Because in John 3, he is sent to Nicodemus. In John 4, he is sent to the Samaritan lady. Two more different people you could not imagine. So those at the top of your society, Jesus sends you there. Those that might be marginalized on the edge of your society, Jesus also sends you there. So if you read through the book of John, actually you will understand that as Jesus was sent, you are also sent. That's why it's well worth studying the book of John. Same again. I was here at an airport in Qatar. And I'd been spending time in Nepal and in Nigeria, and that was all amazing. And then I foolishly asked God a question. Unless you really want an answer to this question, don't ask this question. I casually said to the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do now? And the Lord replied immediately. He said to me, I want you to leave Malaysia. Oh, I love Malaysia. I want you to leave Malaysia and I want you to go back to England. And I want you to study at All Nations and get a degree. Bang, number one. Number two, he said, I want you to learn a foreign language. Number three, he said, I want you to learn how to teach English as a foreign language. Bang, bang, bang. I'm sitting there at the airport, and God is downloading my work for the next 10 years. It's a dangerous question, my friends. Lord, what do you want me to do next? But if you're brave enough, ask and see what he says. Number three. Anybody know this guy? He is probably the most famous Norwegian in the UK at the moment. He's on TV every day. He's rather a successful football player. Amen. he's pretty good. So we're very glad to have him. Manchester City are very happy to have him. Any Manchester United fans here? Oh, I'm so sorry. But there we go. Now, what I notice about him, if you look back at his career, he started his career in Norway. Where did he go after that? You guys know where he went after that. He went to Germany next, right? Went to a couple of teams in Germany. That was another culture for him. And then where did he go after that? Went to the UK. So actually, he's been a little bit like a missionary. He's been to another culture. I know, Erling Haaland, a missionary. Who would have ever thought that? There's a parallel, okay? He went to one culture and he had to learn about that, and he's in another culture now. But every time I move from culture to culture, the Lord gives me this verse, Jeremiah 29:11. It's a famous verse. Many of you will know it. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of, amen, to give you a and a, hallelujah. Now, I don't know whether Erling Haaland prayed that on the way to Manchester City, but if he did, it worked. But what you need to do, what we all need to do, as God moves us from place to place, we need to ask him to allow, we need to allow him to expand our Christian worldview. My prayer for you guys is that he will take you somewhere different. I pray he'd take you to Nigeria. Amen. I pray he'd take you to Argentina. I pray that he drops you into another culture to expand our worldview. I pray that he takes you to some of the churches that are here in Oslo that are not Norwegian cultural churches. They might do church differently, but they're exciting and they're imaginative and creative places to be. And in those places, we can learn to expand our Christian worldview. That's absolutely critical for us. And I think that is a spiritual discipline. When I came here to Hogwarts, or to All Nations Christian College, I was cross with God. Why? Because he took me away from the place that I loved. I loved Malaysia. And he said, come back to England. And I said, Lord, I don't want to go back to England. I said something even worse. I said, I don't like England. Ooh. But he took me back anyway. And as I was crying about leaving Malaysia, he brought me into a community with 23 other nationalities and began to expand my Christian worldview again. He brought me home to teach me more about other cultures and other places. But I had no idea that that's what he wanted to do. So sometimes we just need to trust that the Lord has our future in his hands and that he has us for a hope and a future, that his plans are good and not for evil. So that's what I learned through that verse and that time. And then the last one here. Permit God to extend you beyond yourself. I love this verse as well, Isaiah 43:18-19. This verse came to me in Guatemala last year. My wife and I, we were on retreat in Guatemala, and I was praying, and the Lord laid this on my heart. He said, do not remember the things from before, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Hallelujah. I was more excited than that. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. And then as my wife and I sat there in Guatemala, we knew that God was up to something, and we knew that he had another chapter of our life ahead of us. Permit God to extend you beyond yourself. So there's where we were staying in Guatemala. Wow, it's lovely. And so we were looking at this volcano across this lake, praying and praying and praying. And that is when the Lord said, behold, I am doing a new thing. And then a year later, that new thing was to move us over to America to start a PhD. We had no idea back last August that that's what we would be doing. But God warned us by giving us the verse that something new was going to happen. And actually what I'm saying through all of these, what are the verses that God has you holding on to at the moment? What is the most important verse for you right now in this season? Because in a sense, you will be living out your missional calling through that verse. So Guatemala was fantastic, and then we ended up here in California. We had no idea a year ago that that's what we would be doing. So praise the Lord. Let God set your schedule. Receive instruction by faith. Allow God to expand your worldview and permit God to extend you beyond yourself. One last thing to share. If you've got your Bible, this is the moment to open it. You go to Ephesians 6, one of my favorite passages. And we're going to put on the armor of God. If you're going to engage in these things, if you're going to allow God to take you where he wants to take you, you need to be formed, as Jan has shared, but also you need to be protected. You need to put on the armor of God. And you'll find it there in Ephesians 6, all the way 10 through 20. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, not in yourself, but in the Lord, and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to, key word here, underline, you may be able to stand. That's all God is asking us to do here, is to work in his strength and power and to stand against the wiles or the strategies of the devil. Why? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Those are where our battles are. And what we need to do in order to face those is to put on the armor of God. Therefore, take up the armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done everything, to stand. And then the next word is, in English it's stand. I don't know what it is in Norwegian. But what you have is stand, withstand, stand, and stand. So Paul says the same thing four times. If you're going to stand for God in mission and in God's mission, you need to stand. Sometimes you won't be able to move forward, but you don't allow yourself to be pushed back. And then you start to put on the armor. So stand with, first thing, the buckle of truth. Sometimes it's called the belt. It's the piece of armor that holds everything else together. So your integrity is the thing that holds your whole character together, your personality together, your behavior together, is all tied together with this buckle or this belt of truth. It connects all the other pieces of armor. Then you put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness is literally doing the right thing. You've got your integrity, you've got your truth, and then out of that, you do the right thing. That's the breastplate of righteousness. I love the shoes. The shoes of the gospel of peace. For a Roman soldier, I know we don't have any Roman soldiers in tonight, but if you were a Roman soldier and you were wearing these shoes, they helped you to go further and faster than anybody else. That's why they were so successful in war. They could go further and faster. Why? Because of their shoes. If you're going to keep ahead of the enemy, put on the gospel shoes and you will run effectively and fast. The shoes are your witness. So the shoes are for witness. Breastplate of righteousness, buckle of truth, shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith. And what you do with the shield of faith is you hold up the shield of faith and all the fiery darts that are coming in against you, all the words that are being said against you, you hold up your shield. And you deflect those words and those actions. So you put up the shield of faith. The next thing is you put on the helmet of salvation. What does the helmet protect? Protects your, yes, very head. Absolutely. Very good. Protects your mind. Protects your head. Protects your mind. Protects your thinking. So that you've got that buckle of truth. You're doing the right thing, but you're also thinking in the right way. So the helmet of salvation is central. Then you've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that means at the right moment, you know some scripture to be able to apply to that situation. So at the right moment, you will have this bank of scripture in your brain that you will apply to that situation. So that's what the sword of the Spirit helps you to do. And then the last one, there is no piece of armor for this because there's nothing more powerful, is that you pray. What does it say there about prayer? It's amazing. It says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. All, always, all, and all. For goodness sake, pray. Stand, withstand, stand, and stand. How do you do that? You pray, and you pray, and you pray, and you pray, all, always, all, and all. Hallelujah. Paul is not messing about. He's very clear. So, you can read this another way. How is Jesus involved in the armor? Well, actually, Jesus is our truth. Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is the heart of the gospel shoes. We put our faith in Jesus for the shield of faith. Jesus is our salvation. Jesus is actually the word. And Jesus teaches us to pray. And so the armor of God, it not only protects us, actually we are putting on the person of Jesus. Hallelujah. And then if you want the disciplines associated with that, the discipline of integrity, the discipline of just doing the right thing because it's the right thing, the discipline of witnessing, incredibly missional, the discipline of faith, the discipline of doing right and witnessing, integrity of the word of prayer. Those are your spiritual disciplines, my friends. They will protect you, but they will allow you to go forward in God's mission. Praise the Lord. Now, this is my final challenge. When I was 30 years old, God finally said to me, "You can leave England." I had never been so excited. I had been praying and praying and praying and praying. Lord, let me go. For 7 years. And God has said, not yet, not yet, not yet, not yet, not yet. And then at the age of 30, finally he said, right now, go. But then the question was, where? We had two options. Now, where would you go? I throw this question out to you guys. If you were given a choice, would you go to Malaysia or America? Okay, so let's have hands up. Those who would go to Malaysia, anyone? Some, praise the Lord. Okay, who would go to America? Oh, we got a stronger showing for America. Okay, very good, very good. But what the Lord said to me at that time was that Malaysia was the high road. Now, the high road is the better road, but it's also the harder road. At the same time, he said, don't worry, you could go to the USA if you wanted to, but that is it'll be easier. You won't be so effective, you won't accomplish as much, but you can go there if you want to. I don't mind. Which one did we choose? Actually, we chose the high road. My friends, if you have a choice, take the high road. Take the hard road. If you want to allow God's work of spiritual formation in your life, take the high road. When those choices come, you know what to do. Let me pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that everything that we are engaged in needs to be for the sake of others. Father, let us take that word and run with that word. Let us be in our solitude, but let us also be in community. And let us also be engaged in mission. And Father, we just pray. Lord, we want to be obedient to what you tell us to do. Lord, we want to be expanded in our Christian worldview. We want to understand what it means to be a Christian in different places around the world and allow that to enrich our lives, Lord. But Father, we also want to learn to stand, withstand, stand, and stand. and always, all in all, be in prayer to strengthen us, Lord, to be able to engage fully and appropriately in the high road of mission. Father, we thank you just for the privilege of the opportunity to be able to engage in things that you are doing, not just here in Norway, and those things are important, but all over the world. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters that they will find their place in your mission. That sweet spot that you have just for them, that's going to use their talents and their gifts and their personality, everything that you've been sowing into them. Lord, use it and allow them to be used in that way, in the place of your choosing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.